asiento.
प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय। श्री मायापुर धाम की जय। पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय। श्री श्री जगन्नाथ रुद्र सुभद्रा महारानी सुदर्शन चक्र की जय। श्री श्री गोविंदाय की जय। श्री श्री राधा गोविंद श्री श्री राधा दामोदर जी की जय। श्री श्री शिलाजीव गोस्वामी त्रिभावतिथि महामहोत्सव की जय। श्री जगदीश पंडित त्रिभावतिथि महामहोत्सव की जय। नेताई गौर प्रेमंदिर ऑल ग्लोरीज टू सिंबल डिवोटीज हरे कृष्ण। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू सिंबल डिवोटीज हरे कृष्ण। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू सिंबल डिवोटीज हरे कृष्ण। ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांगा हरे कृष्ण। सो एज यूजुअल every Sunday we have classes in English language, so today also we'll have class in English, and I'm not so much conversant in English still because my Guru Janas, my spiritual masters,
They want me to speak in English, preach in English, so I'm trying my best. But even though I'm not so much conversant, not fluent in English, but still, that surety I can give you that whatever I will speak, you will understand. Message will be clear. So today is the disappearance day of Srila Jiva Goswami and Srila Jagdish Pandit. Amog Lila Prabhu is supposed to give lecture right now, but he changed. He will give lecture in afternoon, Sunday Love Feast lecture will be given by Amog Lila Prabhu, and now I'm giving lecture. But I was thinking that I have to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. Then suddenly I realized today is the disappearance day of Srila Jiva Goswami. He is a hero. He is hero of our sampradaya, Srila Jiva Goswami. And we'll discuss later. But because we were thinking that we'll speak on Srimad Bhagavatam, so for like 15 or 20 minutes we will discuss about Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 12, Text number 26. And after that, we'll discuss the glories of Srila Jiva Goswami. No, not me. Not again. Okay. Thank you. Shloka number 26. Raja Rishina. Janahita Shasta Cha Utbahagamina Nigrahita Kale Eshaha Bhuvaha Dharmasya Karna Raja Rishina Janahita Shasta chotpatha gamina Nigrahita kale resha Bhuvo dharmasya karna Raja rishinam janahita Shasta chotpatha gamina Nigrahita kalesha Bhuvo dharmasya karana Raja rishinam janahita Shasta chotpatha gamina Nigrahita kalesha Dharmasya Karana. Raja Rishinam Janayita Raja Rishinam Janayita शास्ताचोद्गतगामिनां निग्रहीता कलेरेषा भुवो धर्मस्य कारिणा. What do you want, meaning? Rajarshina of kings as good as sages.
Of kings as good as
sages. Janajita, producer.
Producer.
Shasta, chastiser. Cha, and Utpathagamina
of the upstarts.
Nigrahita,
molester.
Kalaha
of quarrelsome.
Eshaha,
this.
Bhuvaha
of the world.
Dharmasya
of religion.
Karana
on account of.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. This child will be the father of kings who will be like sages. For the world peace and for the sake of religion, he will be the chastiser of the upstarts and the quarrelsome. Please repeat against me. This child will be
the
father of kings
who will be like sages.
For world peace and for the sake of religion,
he will be the chastiser of the upstarts and the quarrelsome.
Perfect. The wisest man in the world is a devotee of the Lord. The sages are called wise men, and there are different types of wise men for different branches of knowledge. Unless, therefore, the king or the head of the state is the wisest man, he cannot control all types of wise men in the state. In the line of royal succession, in the family of Maharaj Yudhishthira, all the kings without exception were the wisest men of their time. And so also it is foretold about Maharaj Parikshit and his son Maharaj Janmajaya, who were yet to be born. Such wise kings can become chastiser of upstarts and uprooters of the Kali or the quarrelsome elements. As will be clear in the chapter ahead, Maharaj Parikshit wanted to kill the personified Kali who was attempting to kill a cow, the emblem of peace and religion. The symptoms of Kali are 1. Wine, 2. Women, 3. Gambling, and the 4. Slaughterhouses. Wise rulers of the state, of all states, should take lesson from Maharaj Parikshit in how to maintain peace and morality by subduing the upstarts and quarrelsome people who indulge in wine, illicit connection with women, gambling and meat eating, supplied by regularly maintained slaughterhouses. In this age of Kali, regular license is issued for maintaining all these different departments of quarrel. So how can they expect peace and morality in the state? The state fathers therefore must follow the principles of becoming wiser by devotion to the Lord, by chastising the breaker of the discipline and by uprooting the symptoms of quarrel. As mentioned above, if we want blessing fire, we must use dry fuel. Blessing fire and moistened fuel go ill together. Peace and morality can prosper only by principles of Maharaj Parikshit and his followers. Sarva Shastra Dhipiyusha Sarva Vedaika Satfala Sarva Siddhanta Ratnadhya Sarva Lokaika Drikpada Sarva Bhagavata Prana Srimad Bhagavata Prabho Kali Dhanta Udita Aditya Shri Krishna Parivartita Paramananda Pathaya Prema Varshayaksharayate
sarvada sarvasevyaya shri krishnaya namostute madeka bandhu mat sange mad guru mad mahadhanam mad nistayaka mad bhagya madananda namostute asadhu sadhuta adai atini chauchata kara hanamunja kadachinma premna hit kanthayo sphura dharma projita kaitavotra paramo nirmatsaranam satam vidyo vastava matra vasat shiva damta patrayo namulanam shrimad bhagavate mahamuni krite kimva paririshvara sadyo hidaya vrudhya tetra kritavi shoshoshubhishtatakshana nigam kalpataru galitam phalam shukmukhadam ridravya sayutam pibad bhagavatara sammalyam muhurahurasika bhuvibhavuka om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudiraye Nashta Prayesha Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavate Uttam Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtake Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripatam aham vande shri gurum dinatarinam paramananda madhavam shri chaitanyeshwaram namo vishnu padaya krishna drashtaya bhutale shrimate bhakti vedanta swami niti namini namaste saraswate devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshitarine
So today we are discussing on first canto, 12th chapter, text number 26, Srimad Bhagavatam. So here, from last few weeks, we are listening from Srimad Bhagavatam that the qualified brahmanas are performing jat karma sanskara of Maharaj Parikshit. They are very qualified brahmanas there and very good astrologers, and they are giving predictions in future what will be the character of Maharaj Parikshit. And you know, Yudhishthira Maharaj is inquiring. Why is he inquiring? He's just thinking that till now, in our dynasty, many kings came and all the kings were like Rajarishis. And now he is the only one. How he will act in the society? Whether he will act like a Rajarishi or he will become like a Grihamedi? So this was the anxiety of Maharaj Yudhishthira, because his plan was to give all the kingdom to Parikshit and go to the forest and perform austerity for the pleasure of the Lord. This was his plan. So he wanted to check whether this person will match our dynasty or not. That is why Maharaj Yudhishthira is asking about him. And in this verse, we are listening like, this child will be the father of kings who will be like sages. He will be very fatherly to the sages basically. And at the same time, what he will do, he will be the chastiser of upstarts and the quarrelsome. Actually, I was contemplating on it, and then I was thinking, that is also a fatherly nature. To chastise upstarts is also like a fatherly nature. For the kings like Maharaj Parikshit, because they are not envious of anyone. And they have no enmity in their heart for anyone. They are like Ajatshatru. They are born with no enemies. It means that some other people can become their enemy out of enviousness, but they don't consider anyone else as their enemy. They consider everyone as a part and parcel of Supreme Lord, Krishna. And therefore they respect everyone. Ajatshatruas are like that. So how he can just chastise out of enviousness? So I was thinking, this is also a fatherly nature. Because a father, when he sees his child, is acting very nicely, having good manners, worshipping the Lord, he pets him. Bachcha bachcha, nanna bachcha, like that. But when he sees that his son is not acting properly, not acting in a good manners, bad son, so he chastises his son, not out of enviousness. Rather, he wants to correct that person. If the father will not chastise, in the future, government will put him under the prison house. So it is the duty of father to correct his child or children. Similarly, Maharaj Parikshit is taking care of these upstarts also. Because according to Manu Samhita, if a upstart, if a bad person, if a thief, if a murderer, he gets chastisement by a king or the government, then he does not have to face the heavier reactions in his next life on in like hellish planets. Because they are properly punished by the local government. So basically, when Maharaj Parikshit is chastising these kind of people, he is not just envious out with them. Rather, he is favoring them. If Maharaj Parikshit will punish them, they will not go through the hellish condition of their life in hellish planets. Or they don't have to become animals in their next life. So this is fatherly. In this, a king's mentality should be like that. They should like think like this. These days, it's a democracy. Srila Prabhupada used to say, this is demon crazy. These people are demon crazy. And Srimad Bhagavatam also says, Raj Kuleshu Rakshasaha. A person born in such a families who are just indulged in politics are Rakshasa. They don't consider the, how the public will be benefited. They just consider how we can exploit everyone and enjoy the resources of this material nature. Rakshasa. But the kings, like Maharaj Parikshit, they were like the fathers for the society, fathers for the communities, fathers for the kingdom, fathers for their subject. And they were like fully dedicated in the welfare of community, kingdom, nation. They're completely dedicated. And for them, it was not that only the human beings are their subject. And they will be taken care by them. And animals, trees, and other creatures on earth, in their kingdom, are not their subject. They will kill them and eat them. It was not like that. They were such a pure soul. For them, every living entity on the earth was
the subject, and they were taking care of everyone. Everyone. There was no open slaughterhouses. Just you kill as many animals you want to kill. Put the machines to kill the animals. Kill the animals in wholesale. It was not like that. They were compassionate. They were the Raj Rishis. And now, everyone in the community, like in our India, in the world rather, America, India, Pakistan, Uzbekistan, German, Europe, everywhere, the subject, the people think that we should have king like this. They don't know about Maharaj Parikshit, but they think a king should be like this. The government should be like this. But how it will come? How can you expect Ram Rajya, the kingdom of Lord Ramchandra, without Ram? Is it possible? To have a kingdom of Lord Ramchandra without Lord Ramchandra. Ram Rajya without Ram. Not possible. So these days, no one wants to worship the God. Krishna, Ramchandra. In any form, no one wants to worship the God. People are filled. The world is filled with the atheistic people. They are just indulged in four sinful activities. Meat eating, gambling, illicit relationship with the woman or man, and gambling. They are indulged in that. And just they are trying to find happiness in that. They are trying to find happiness in the paper notes. Paper currency. I was just thinking, there was a time when there used to be a currency of gold. Then it came to silver, then copper, then brass, then iron, aluminium, then paper, and now it's cyber. Air currency. And such a wonderful thing. There are cyber thefts are also happening. Money is an air, and people are stealing from air. Such a wonderful thing. This is Kali Yuga. No one wants to worship God, but they want the kingdom of God. They want all the facilities of the kingdom of God, but without God. Foolishness. There is a saying, one of my Italian friends, he was saying, never expect a bottle full of wine and wine fully drunk. We don't follow it in our community. That you don't expect like that. If you want to make someone intoxicated, you have to feed him with intoxicants. You cannot have intoxicants filled with you and person becomes intoxicated. No. So you cannot have the facilities of kingdom of God without God. God. And because they want the kingdom of facilities of the kingdom of God without God, therefore they are becoming D-O-G, dog. This is the problem. But as soon as someone accepts the personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna, in their life and starts worshipping Him, no matter how the government is acting, no matter what is happening in the kingdom, no matter what is the surrounding, person becomes blissful. He attains the real happiness. Like a lotus flower. Lotus flower is in a mud, but is aloof from the mud. It's attractive. It's spreading its fragrance. Similarly, a person who accepts the authority of Shastras, the personality of Godhead Shri Krishna, and his devotees, what happens? This person becomes like a lotus flower. And his heart becomes like soft like lotus flower. That is why Bhagavatam also says about those devotees, Tam bhakti bhava paribhavita hita sarvacha. A devotee who, accepts the devotional service to the Lord as his life and soul, his heart becomes like a lotus flower, hit saroja. His heart is not filled with blood, mucus, arteries and veins, his heart becomes lotus flower, where the Supreme Lord takes his asana, his seat. He sits there and rules the kingdom of his heart. Chetaha prangana sangini vijayate. As soon as he enters in the heart, he controls the entire body of that devotee. All the indriyas of that devotee, all the senses of that devotee. And that person becomes blissful. Blissful. And this Supreme Lord is so merciful. As soon as he sees that this person wants to love me. And he says that this person wants to love me as Lord Ramchandra, as Lord Krishna, as Narasimha Dev. So what he does? Yajadhyata urugaya vibhavayanti tattad vapuk pranayasi sadanugrahaya. He appears in the heart of that devotee. He appears in the mind of that devotee. He appears in the vision of that devotee in the form he is trying to meditate on. Merciful Lord. Rather, Lord says, Krishna says, in Skanda Puran, he says, Muhurtena pisamahartum sattum yadyapi danava mad bhaktanam vinodartham karomi vividhakriya. I can kill all these, you know, upstarts, rakshasas, demons within no time. It's just a cakewalk for the Lord. But he says, still I appear, I perform different activities, different leelas. You know why? Mad bhaktanam vinodartham. Just to give divine pleasure to my devotees. This is the Supreme Lord. And his devotees follow the same program. Whatever they do, they think, we should please the Lord and his devotees. That is why when Jagdanand Pandit, Lord Chaitanya asked him, whatever you want, just tell me, I will give. And Jagdanand Pandit said, Hari Nama Sadhu Sangha Ei Matra Chai Sansara Chini Teara Kichu Vastu Nai. Oh Lord Hari, Lord Gaura Hari, if you want to give me something, please give me two things. Hari Nam, Krishna Nam. Give me Krishna Nam and the association of your devotees. That's it. I don't need anything else. Sansara chinite ar kichu vastu nai. There is nothing in the world what I want, that I want. I want only two things. The association of devotees and your holy name. Holy name. So this is the devotee. And for them Lord appears, and Raj Rishi Nam, like the Maharaj Parikshit, they follow the footstep of Lord Krishna and the pure devotees. They also want to please the Lord, please his devotees, and bring all the upstarts, all the miscreants, all the rascals, thieves, murderers, decoys, everyone back to the lotus feet of Krishna. This is their purpose. Janasya Krishna Vimukhasya Daivad Adharma Shilasya Sudukhitasya Anugrahaya Charanti Nunam Bhutani Bhavyani Janardanasya. Purpose of this kind of people like Maharaj Parikshit and Srila Prabhupada as well. They just travel on the earth on behalf of the Lord to perform the most important philanthropic activity. What is that? That is to bring the suffering conditioned souls in the material world. They are suffering because of their
past karmas.
Vimukhasya daivat. Because they have turned their face from Krishna. As soon as you turn your face from Krishna, your karma starts. They are suffering because they have turned their face from Krishna. And now the purpose of these kind of souls like Srila Prabhupada and Maharaj Parikshit, no matter one is sannyasi, one is king, but the consciousness is same. They are traveling on the earth to bring these kind of people, those who have turned their face from Krishna, back to Krishna's lotus feet. A real king is one who thinks that how my subject will go back to Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam says, Rajana Sasyat, real leader, real father, real mother, real guru. They always think, how I can bring them back to the lotus feet of Lord. If they are not able to do that then they should not become king, they should not become father, they should not become mother, they should not become guru, they should not become leader of the society, because they are not able to give them the real benefit of their life. They should not waste their life. So this is a little bit we have discussed from this verse. And then now we'll discuss about the glories of Srila Jiva Goswami and little bit about Jagdish Pandit. Even though, you know, I just realized before the Bhagavatam class today is the disappearance day of Srila Jiva Goswami. I was not prepared for that. And I have not read about that, them also, recently. But because it is the glories of his devotees, Krishna's devotees. So, he says, Mattah Smritir Jnanam Apahanam Cha. Because of me, one gets the forgetfulness and remembrance. He gives the remembrance. So,
and knowledge.
And knowledge too. So, whatever he will remind me about Srila Jiva Goswami, I'll speak. Before that, I just want to take some questions on Srimad Bhagavatam's this verse. Question?
Have you gone through the purport?
Yes. Any comment on this? No question.
I have one question.
Yes.
So we were discussing it, how kings like Maharaj Parishita, Ariksha. So as we were discussing it, how kings like Maharaj Parishita make potentially all the demons able to the land.
Speak a little louder.
So as we were discussing that, how kings like Maharaj Parishita are compassionate not only to the demons but even to the animals. So at the same time, I just want a clarification, but at the same time, we see even kings used to do hunting.
Yes.
So can you please justify that?
Thank you very much. Very good question. Even the kings, and the kings like Maharaj Parikshit, they were Raj Rishis. Even the father of Lord Ramchandra, Maharaj Dashrath, he went for hunting. Why, if they are so compassionate, why they are doing like this? Why they are acting like this? Oh, you want to answer?
No, you can answer.
Okay, first you answer.
As per our national dharma, Kshatriyas was supposed to protect the subjects, the citizens, Kshatriya plus tribe, and it used to be a part of their training. They used to be trained. They used to be sent to the forest to actually challenge the wild animals, you know, like the tigers, the lions, and all. Not because it was a part of their sport. You know, some people think that it was a part of the sport. No, it was not. But because they had to perform their dharma, the Kshatriya dharma, as per the Varnashrama. And the dharma was to protect the people. So they were actually sent to the forest to challenge these wild animals so that they could be trained, you know, to carry out their duties in the most professional manner. Now, if they were not exposed to this type of, acts, then obviously they would fail to run. Like, you know, in this verse it says, he was the chastiser of the upstarts and the quarrelsome. So, you know, if the king was faced with a situation wherein there were people who were like, with demonic nature, or even if the king was attacked, the kingdom was attacked by, you know, a very unruly king, then he had to protect his citizens by carrying out his Kshatriya duty. And this was not possible unless he had some proper training. And that was the reason why he was sent right from the childhood or right from the young age to challenge the animals, wild animals, so that he could be properly trained in it.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. And just, I want to elaborate a little bit more on it. And sometimes still we can say that just to protect one person, you are killing another person. Yes?
Yeah.
It's true?
Yeah.
To protect one person, you are killing another person, or the living entity. still there is a partiality. Still, where is the compassion? Become a brave man without killing anyone. So, first of all, Srila Prabhupada says, when a king, sometimes, you know, king also used to eat the meat also. Though it is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, when they were killing the animals for their own sake, they were getting the reaction. And they, when they were killing the animals, they were killing with a very compassionate heart, very loving heart, because they were the devotees of the Lord. And now they know this human form of life is more important than the animal form of life. Because in the human form of life, you can attain the real perfection of life. You can, you know, break the cycle of birth and death in human form of life, which is not possible in the animal form of life. So now, the which life is more important? Human life or animal life? To give the protection to that life which is more important, where one can break the cycle of birth and death, they were just practicing, like Prabhuji was saying, they were just practicing their and enhancing their skill for fighting, and not with like small animals. They were killing, means not the big animals also, but they were killing the wild animals. And so they were trying, from wherever the sound will come, and just by hearing the sound, they will kill the animal. And these animals, those who were killed by those kshatriyas, they were praying for them. That, oh Lord, I am killing them for the bigger benefit. Bigger, you will say bigger? For the higher purpose, yes. For the higher purpose. Like it, there is a saying in Mahabharata also, and in the Bible also, for the sake of a village, or for the sake of a family, one person can be killed. For the sake of a village, one family can be killed. For the sake of a state, one village can be killed. And for the sake of a country, one state can be killed. And for the sake of the entire earth, one nation can be killed. So higher purpose is seen. So now the higher purpose is to send someone back home, back to Godhead, facilitate them. And when they were praying for these living entities, and when they were killed by such Vaishnavas, such people, they were attaining, their next life was human life. In Srimad Bhagavatam also it is mentioned, means when a devotee kills someone, he gets the benefit. When Maharaj Dhruv, he was killing the Yakshas, it was like a wholesale delivery to Vaikuntha Lokas. In wholesale he was killing, and the people were going to Vaikuntha Lokas in wholesale. When Arjun was killing, so it is mentioned that with the arrows of Arjuna, their anarthas was destroyed, and just by seeing the face of Krishna, they were going back home. So when the people like Maharaj Parikshit, they go for hunting, they are still benefiting.
Just an additional point. Just an additional point. It's also mentioned in our scriptures that if you kill six types of aggressors, you don't incur any sinful reactions. It's very clearly mentioned.
Yes.
Okay? So six types of aggressors. What are those? Someone who poisons you. Someone who burns your house down. Someone who actually plunders your riches. Someone who forcefully takes your wife away. You know, all of these categories. Someone who actually cracks your land. And someone who attacks with deadly weapon. If you kill these six types of aggressors, you do not incur any sin. So if a Kshatriya was attacked by, you know, his primary purpose was Kshatriya plus Prayate. Someone who could protect the citizen from being harmed. Not you know, someone who was going to all the time expand his kingdom and kill people. But the main purpose was to protect the citizens, so protect the citizens,
yes,
from being harmed. So if, as long as he was carrying out his duty, you know, and he was attacked by an aggressor, if he killed them, he was not supposed to incur any sinful reaction.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you. Any other question or comment? So today is Sunday, we can go a little more and discuss about Srila Jiva Goswami. First we will discuss about little bit about Jagdish Pandit. Jagdish Pandey, he was, you know, he was Lord Chaitanya's associate. Gaurangera Sanghi Gane Nitya Siddha Jayamane Se Jaye Brajendra Sutava. Whoever accepts the associates of Lord Chaitanya as the eternally perfected souls will go to the spiritual world at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. So this Jagdish Pandit was the associate of Lord Chaitanya. And when Lord Chaitanya appeared, when he was even just a small child, in this Jagdish Pandit's house was a little far from the house of Lord Chaitanya, Nimai Pandit's house, Nimai's house. And when Nimai little grew up, he was little bit grown, like 1 or 2 years old. And whenever he used to cry, so there was a system. Everyone will chant and the holy name of Lord. Hari Hari Bol, Hari Hari Bol, Mukunda Madhava Govinda Bol, Haraya Namaha Krishna Yadavaya Namaha, Govinda Gopala Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudana. When the mothers and the ladies of the village will start chanting the holy name, he will become peaceful. So whenever, you know, like the child in this material world, when they cry, you have to give them something to eat or to play. But this child was different. Whenever he would cry, only remedy is to sing the holy name of God and clap. So just by birth, from birth he started this his movement of spreading the holy name around. But one day, what happened? This child started crying. And all the mothers, all the ladies of the village, they also started chanting the holy name as usual. But this child was still crying. And they thought, because we are not singing from the core of our heart, or we are not singing very loudly, we should sing very loudly so he becomes pleased. And then they started chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But this child was still crying. And then they thought, at least we should sing from the heart. This will please the child. And then again, they started singing from their heart. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But this child was not going to stop. And the mothers thought, now we should sing the holy name very loudly from the inner core of our heart. Then this child will become pleased and will stop crying. And again, from the inner chamber of their heart, this sung the Lord, holy name of the Lord, very, very loudly. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But still, this child was crying. All these ladies thought, now we should ask, what you want? And they started asking, tell us Nimai, what you want? Why are you crying so much? We are trying to please you. We are singing the dearest of dear holy name to you. Still you are crying. What is the problem with you? What do you want? And then he said, I need feast. Feast. Feast made in the house of Jagdish Pandit and Govardhan. I need that. Bring me. They said, I need that feast which they are going to offer to the Lord, Navedya, different items. Bring me that before offering. They said, what you are saying? He said, I don't need the prasad. Bring me the offering. And this lady said, Nimai, you should understand. We should not do. And then he said, you please bring me that. They have put very good things. They are going to offer 2 days Ekadasi. Now, again, he started crying. Now they thought, now we have to bring. Because this child is so, you know, lovely, such a sweet child. If we will not please him, you know, our life becomes useless. Somehow or other we have to please this child. This is the aim of our life. And this is the aim of our moment, to please that grown-up child, Lord Chaitanya, Keshavur, Gaurahari. And they went to the house of Govardhan and Jagdish Pandit and asked them. And they became like, they said, now we understand, now we can understand. We were already thinking that this child, he resembles Krishna. He is like Krishna. And now how he came to know that we are cooking these things? It is Ekadasi. Many Vaishnavas, they don't take such things. But we have cooked it for the Lord Vishnu. And now this child is asking. It means he is Krishna. And they became so happy. They brought that Navedya. And Nimai, he was like 1 or 2 years old child. But he ate all the Navedyas. And then he distributed it a bit as prasadam. And this Govardhan was so blessed by Lord Hari, Govardhari. So I could recall only one of this pastime of Jagdish Pandit. Do you remember any other pastime of Jagdish Pandit? He was very dear to the Lord and he was like eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya. So we pray at the lotus feet of Jagdish Pandit, please bless us so one day we can cook such a navedya for which Lord Gaurahari will become like greedy to eat. With that love. Because Gaurahari does not become greedy upon the ingredients. He becomes greedy upon our consciousness. He just wants bhavgrahi. So give us that consciousness. So we can cook the food for the Lord with that consciousness. Which pleases the Lord. Jagdish Pandit ki. So today is the disappearance day of Srila Jiva Goswami. You know, for the Vaishnavas, appearance day and disappearance day, both are same. And rather, in the Vaishnava community, we have seen, disappearance day is considered more important than the appearance day. Because at his disappearance, he has already spreaded the holy name, did his activities, and made everyone aware of Krishna consciousness. So he has got so many achievements. Because of that, those achievements, now the Vaishnavas, they immediately think, he came in this material world, tomara karane asiya prapanche, this is the panchabhautik, this prapancha kind entanglement, and five kinds of entanglements, he came because of us, to spread the holy name. And now, such a wonderful day, he went back home, back to Godhead. He was facing so many difficulties in this material world. Now he went back home, back to Godhead, where he will be eternally blissful, anandamay. He will not face the miseries of this material world, which he was facing for our benefit. So it is a very wonderful day. He goes back to the spiritual world. But at the same time, for Vaishnavas, those who are serving with those Vaishnavas, that Vaishnava who disappeared, it's a heartbreaking day. It's viraha, it's separation. And that separation, that viraha, is not due to bodily attachment. The material world, as soon as someone dies, is, you know, his parents will not say, the relatives, they start crying because they also feel the separation. But that separation does not last so long. Because that separation was because they want some sense gratification from that person. They have not enjoyed that person properly and he has left. That is why there is separation. But in the spiritual world, devotees are still remembering Srila Jiva Goswami. He disappeared like 400 years back ago and still we are feeling separation. Still we are glorifying. Still we are remembering him. So when the Vaishnavas feel separation, that is not on the platform of bodily consciousness. That is based on their eternal relationship, spiritual relationship. So it is viraha. That is why we call it utsav, because that person achieved the goal of his life. He is in the spiritual world. But it is viraha because we are feeling separated from him. That is why it is called viraha utsava. What it is called? Viraha utsava. So it is viraha utsava. Srila Jiva Goswami is such a wonderful Vaishnava in our community. He is just like a hero. Hero of our sampradaya. Once, I was just traveling in a... I remember I was in train, yes. One person came to me. He was kind of like very knowledgeable of Shastras and kind of Mayavadi. And we were discussing and he said, what is your philosophy? I just explaining. I started explaining our philosophies. Because he was knowledgeable. He knew the philosophies. So I could just discuss the deeper elements of the philosophy. So I said, we followed Achinta Bheda Bheda Tattva. And then he says, who are your professors? I said, our professor is Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami. Then I said, Jeev Goswami. He said, Jeev Goswami. Who wrote the Shatsandarbha? I said, yes. Because he was a Mayavadi, he immediately stopped discussion. He said, then there is no use of discussion. I said, why? No use of discussion. He said, why? No, you read his books, Jiva Goswami's books. I said, yes. Okay, we don't accept. I said, then we can have discussion at least. No, we cannot have discussion. Means he was afraid of discussing with me because of Jiva Goswami. So powerful. Even till this day, his books are studied in the universities. One of our devotee, Radhika Raman Prabhu. Yes, Radhika Raman Prabhu. He did PhD. Sometimes Vaishnavas think that he did PhD in Shatsandarbhas from Oxford University. Many devotees think they have that Radhika Raman Prabhu had did PhD in Shatsandarbha. Now he is so famous in our community as well as in the community of scholars outside. He has good name in Oxford University. He has published one or two books from Oxford University also. Lord Chaitanya and Gaudiya Vaishnavism something. And when we discussed with him, he said, it is impossible to do PhD in Shatsandarbha. Then I asked him, so everyone says that you have did PhD in the Shatsandarbha. He said, I have did PhD in one shloka of Tatsandarbha. So powerful. Srila Jiva Goswami, hero of our community. When he was a like small child, in like a baby, that time Lord Chaitanya visited Ram Keli and Rup Sanatan had the darshan of Lord Chaitanya, an audience with him. At that time, Srila Jiva Goswami, who was just in the, you know, how you say, in the lap or what? In the lap? In the lap of his mother, he saw Lord Chaitanya. He became attracted with him. And later, when Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, they left. They came to Vrindavan. And Jiva Goswami's mother was so powerful, so wonderful. She used to tell her the stories from Bhagavatam and from Ramayana. And Srila Jiva Goswami was specifically attracted toward Bhagavatam. And she used to tell him the stories of Lord Chaitanya, Nityananda. And he was fascinated with those stories of Gaurhari and Nitai. And at the same time, such a wonderful mother, such a genuine mother. She used to tell him the stories and the activities of Rupa Sanatan. She used to inform him about the detachment, about the, what you will say, tyag. And what do you say? renunciation, about the renunciation of Rupa and Sanatan. And he became so attracted that he made the goal of his life that I will also follow the footstep of Rupa Sanatan. See, you will not find such a mothers these days. But she was like that. And he was thinking that one day I will go. One day I will also follow the footstep of my predecessors. I will go. I will also have the darshan of Nityananda Prabhu, of Sri Gaura Hari. I will also go to Vrindavan. And I will also serve the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. But he was like a little child that time. Within few years, like he was like 5 or 7, he became conversant in Sanskrit, Vyakaran, grammar, and he could recite all the scriptures. He memorized many, many shlokas from Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and he could give lectures on Bhagavatam. And he was attached. He was such a powerful personality. Even in his childhood, there was no child or a grown-up man or young man or an old person who could discuss anything with him except Krishna. It's quite difficult for these other people to discuss anything else than Krishna with him. Sometimes we see when we discuss with the people, what we find, that we find difficult to discuss about Krishna with them. We feel shy. But he was such a personality, if someone has to discuss something with him, if someone has to say something to him, or if someone has to ask something to him, it had to be Krishna Katha, about Krishna, nothing else. He was Pakka Krishnatarian. Even the children, when they would come to him for playing, what they will play? The pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, pastimes of Krishna Balaram, and he had the deities of Krishna Balaram with him. Whenever he used to sleep with those Krishna Balaram. Whatever he used to do with those deities. He used to offer bhoga to those deities. He used to arrange things for those deities. He used to celebrate festival for those deities. He was so attached to Krishna Balaram. And one day what happened? He was already cultivating the mood of renunciation. He was already renounced rather. And he wanted to become more renounced like Rupa Sanatana. And one day he saw a dream. In a dream he saw his Balaram became Nitai, his Krishna became Gaura, Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And they said, when you are coming? When you are coming? You know, Rupa and Sanatana are waiting for you. Then he became mad. Because he saw the beautiful body of Lord Chaitanya, Sri Vigraha, transcendental beauty of Lord Chaitanya, transcendental beauty of Nityananda Prabhu. He became mad. You know, it is the prayer of our acharyas, one of our acharya, Raghunath Das Goswami. Very sweet prayer. These kind of prayers, you know, they melt the heart of devotees. He says, Gatim Dreshtva Yasya Pramada Gajavari Yekhila Jana Mukham Chashi Chandra Paridadate Thukkara Nivaham Swakantya Yaswarna Chalamadharayo Chiduchavacha Tarangel Gaurango Hridaya Udayan Mamadayati. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami says, O Gaura Hari, Gatim Drishtva Yasya. If someone sees you walking on the surface of this earth, you know, it defeats the fascinating walking style of Gaja, of elephant. You know, Masta Hathi Chal. Have you heard that song? Masta Hathi Chal. So it defeats that Mastani Chal, because you are so attractive. Gatim drishtva yasya pramada gajavaryo khilajana mukham cha shri chandro paridhadat thukka atima. And beauty of your face spits on the thousand and thousands moon, beauty of the thousand and thousand of moons. Thousand and thousand moon together cannot have that much beauty, but the beauty having in the your face. It spits. The beauty of your face spits on the beauty of thousands and millions of the moon's beauty. Mukham cha shri chandra paridada dhukkaranivam sakantyaha yasvarana. When you walk, when you dance, when you come, it looks that a golden mountain is walking on the surface. Your body is such a clearing, such a brilliant, such a attractive, bright. And your color is like molten gold. It looks like golden mountain is walking on the surface of the earth. And you know, when you speak or when you sing, Swayam Kuravan Nam Nam, when you sing the holy name, what happens? Or when you speak, when you laugh, it looks that the flows of nectarian rivers are flowing from your lotus mouth. Oh Gaurahari, when the day will come, when you will arise in my heart, like the sun arises in eastern horizon, when you will arise in my heart and madden me. Make me mad. When the day will come, when the day will come. So he became mad. He became crazy after Lord Gaurahari. Nityananda Prabhu, he decided, I will leave. And one day, he asked his mother, that he wanted to visit some of his relatives in another village. At that time, he was like 16 years old boy. So mother said, okay, you are grown up boy, you can go. But mother was a little bit afraid because she knew the heart of his son. He left. And he didn't go to any village, relatives, cities, malls, clubs, pubs. He left for Sri Mayapur Dham. Just to see the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, Shri Gaurahari. And as soon as he entered, he just, you know, stepped in Mayapur Dham, Navdeep Dham. Nityananda Prabhu started singing the holy name. He became so happy. And no one could understand why Nityananda Prabhu suddenly came in so much ecstasy. Nityananda Prabhu said, very special soul is coming. No one could understand who is coming. And he was just asking about, where is Nityananda Prabhu? And Nityananda Prabhu was there in the house of Srivas Acharya. You know Srivas Acharya? One of the person in Panchatattva. So he came to the house of Srivas Acharya finally. When he was on the door only, he was just on the door, and Nityananda Prabhu came running to see the face, see the vigraha, see the sweet body, sweet, you know, handsomeness, sweet attractiveness of Jiva Goswami. In Prema Vilas, it is mentioned that Rupa and Sanatan, they were so handsome, so attractive. And they were like very rich also. They were like, when Rupa Goswami left his house, he donated a boat full of gold coins. He was such a rich person. And they were very handsome, very handsome. So it is mentioned when they used to sit in the assembly, it was like Indra sitting in the assembly of demigods. They were so attractive. But still they were down to earth. To whomever they used to meet, they used to say, bless us, so we can have the devotion to the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. This was their prayer. Not to the devotees only. To whomever they used to meet. And they're very their bodily features were very attractive. So similarly, it is mentioned in the Prem Vilas, Jai Cheshu Rupa Sanatan Ki Sondarya Manohara Tai Che Jiva Gosai Ki Rupa Madhurya Manohara. As the Rupa and Sanatan are very attractive, very handsome, similarly, Srila Jiva Goswami, his body is also very attractive. Not only his consciousness is attractive, not only his voice is attractive, not only his eyes are attractive, his whole body is attractive. Even from the physical plane. Even for the mortal eyes, he was very attractive personality. And he was just a young boy of 16 years. When Nityananda Prabhu came to see this beautiful, handsome, attractive boy who is like Rupa and Sanatan were their uncle. How you will say? He is?
Nephew.
He's a nephew. He was a nephew to see the nephew of Rupa and Sanatan. Because Rupa and Sanatan were very dear to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Gaura Hari, very dear. And he, as soon as he came to see, this Jiva Goswami became so fascinated with the beauty of Nityananda Prabhu. He just saw the lotus feet of Nityananda Prabhu and paid the obeisances. And he fainted. And, you know, this Nityananda Prabhu, he begged him up, he lifted him up, but as soon as he stood up, again he fainted. Again, Nityananda Prabhu lifted him up. Again, he paid the obeisances. And after that, he was just standing up, paying the obeisances. Standing up, paying the obeisances. Many times, he became crazy just by seeing Nityananda Prabhu. And then Nityananda Prabhu gave him blessings, fed him full prasadam. Then Nityananda Prabhu took him to the house of Lord Chaitanya, where Sachi Mata was residing. No, that time, I think Sachi Mata already left. Vishnu Priya was there. And Sachi Mata was also there, yes. Sachi Mata cooked food, prasadam, for Jiva Goswami. And then, he requested Nityananda Prabhu, I want to see the places, pastime places of Lord Chaitanya. So it was first Navdeep Mandal Parikrama, performed by Nityananda Prabhu and Jiva Goswami. Nityananda Prabhu took Jiva Goswami to the different pastime places of Lord Chaitanya, and they did the first Navdeep Mandal Parikrama. And we follow that Parikrama only. The Bengali Parikrama, how many of you have visited Sri Mayapur Dham? Jai, many. And how many of you have did the Parikrama? Okay. So in the Parikrama, there are three groups. One is Bengali, one is international, one is Hindi, and now there is Russian is also there. Earlier there was only two groups, Bengali and international. Now, because devotees are increasing, so we are having many groups. But the Bengali Parikrama, this Parikrama follows exactly the route of Nityananda Prabhu. And the international Parikrama, we will change a little bit because all of us cannot go together. So this first Parikrama was done by Nityananda Prabhu and Jiva Goswami, and the description of this Parikrama is really wonderful. We can say only this. It was really wonderful. Such a blissful, you know, description is there in the Navdeep Dham Mahatmya by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that just by reading this book, meditating on it, you can get the benefit of performing Parikrama. And if someone reads this book, he says, during the Parikrama, he gets the 100 times of the benefit of Parikrama. So he did the Parikrama. Many wonderful pastimes are there. After that, Nityananda Prabhu asked him to leave for Vrindavan. He did not want to leave. Because he was like, it was heartbreaking for him to leave the association of Nityananda Prabhu. And then he says, see, Nityananda Prabhu, I came in the dham, Now I have to leave the dham. Can you answer one of my question? Because you were saying that dhamvasis are like Nitya Siddhas. Dhamvasis are associates of Krishna. We should respect them. We should have very reverential relationship with them. But sometimes we see some people, they are in dham, but they perform very bad activities. How we understand that? And sometimes we see that we also visit the dham, but we don't become like them. Our consciousness is, we maintain the same consciousness which we were having in Gurgaon, Delhi. We maintain the same consciousness. How it happens? If we are coming in dham, our consciousness should change. But we maintain the same consciousness. Then Sri Nityananda Prabhu says, this dham is very beautiful. This dham is spiritual. We see the buildings in the dham. We see the animals and the pigs in the dham. We see some beggars in the dham. But we don't see the real beauty of that dham. Vrindavan Ramya's dham. It's a blissful dham. It's made with Chintamani jewels. The waters of that dham is Amrita. Shreyaha kantaha kantaha paramapurasho kalapataravo. Wonderful dham, transcendental, blissful dham. But we don't see because we don't enter in dham. This dham, this holy dham is covered by the thin layer of maya. A net of maya is there on the dham. Only the pure devotees, they enter into the dham. But devotees like us, who are still having that material consciousness, they don't enter in the dham, rather they just walk on the net of maya. And we don't see the dham. But Jeev, don't worry. You are not amongst those people. I'm sending you to Vrindavan because Lord Chaitanya has decided Vrindavan dham for your family. And Rupa and Sanatan need your help. Please go to Vrindavan. And my request to you is, first go to Varanasi. Study Sanskrit. Study the Sharirika Bhashya of Shankaracharya. And then refute it. And he went to Varanasi and took the shelter of Madhusudan Vachaspati, who was a brother of Vidya Vachaspati. He took the shelter of Madhusudan Vachaspati, yes. And he learned Sanskrit there, and many other, he learned Sanskrit, Nyaya, many things he learned within 2 years. And this Madhusudan Vachaspati means very sweet pastimes are there also in Varanasi. Madhusudan Vachaspati was like so proud that now see, Jiva has become my student. Simply this thought was giving him such an immense pleasure that Jiva has become my student. And wherever there was Mayavadi Bhashyas, he used to send Jiva Goswami, go and refute them, go and refute them. And Madhusudan Vachaspati became so famous that his disciple is such a powerful personality. What about Madhusudan Vachaspati? Powerful. And then, after that, he went to Vrindavan. When he came in Vrindavan, we are just summarizing this whole pastimes of Srila Jiva Goswami. They are like very beautiful pastimes. When he reached Vrindavan, he took the shelter of Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. And there he started performing many, many devotional activities and serving Rupa Sanatana. And he became very famous in Vrindavan as well. Because he was the youngest sadhu in Vrindavan. 18-year-old sadhu. In Vrindavan. And that time Vrindavan was not like our temples. Now we have rooms. In room we put the AC or the water cooler or the fans or the heater. Oh, they have facilities by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. We are sitting here, all the good carpets are there, I'm sitting on asana, I'm having shawl with me, so my legs become warmer. We have all the facilities. But that time there was no facility. No clothes. No bhajan kutis. No buildings. No electricity. That time, this young, beautiful boy, he reached Vrindavan. And he was the youngest of the sadhus in Vrindavan. So as soon as I remember, when I joined the temple, I was like 18 years old. And I was the youngest person in the temple. So I was like, you know, how you say like this, pet? Yes, how you say in that English? Because I'm learning English. Pet?
Yeah, you were the dearest.
Yes, like I'm pet, very small child. So everyone used to love me, pet me. I was just the happiest boy in the whole temple. You know, we see, as soon as we get, there is a small child, he becomes the affectionate one. Most affectionate one. So similarly, I was like that. So I can imagine what would be the position of Srila Jiva Goswami. Because he was not like me. I was only a youngest. That's only this much qualification I was having. But Jiva Goswami was youngest, but he was very qualified. Very devoted. Very dedicated. Very renounced. Very austere. He was a good singer. He was a good performer of dramas. He was an actor. He was a good singer, good actor, good writer, good poet. He was everything. That we think about, whenever we think about a hero, whatever we think a hero should have, he had everything. And he was Genghis Khan. And whenever there would be classes on Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Charitam, Bhagavatam or the Puranas or the Vedas or Upanishads, he was the he was the first person who will ask the questions, and many questions. So everyone used to glorify him. He became like darling of Vrindavan after Krishna. But at the same time, he was very humble, very humble. He was such a scholar personality, such a sharp memory person. When he was writing the books, like he wrote the Shatsundarbhas and other books, you know how he used to write? He was using palm leaves and ink to write on it. And he used to make the ink by himself. He used to make the ink, he used to bring the palm leaves, he used to dry those palm leaves in proper proportion, so it becomes like writable. And then he used to write on them. And when you write on palm leaves, you know, if you have wrote on one side, now you cannot write on the other side until it becomes dry. See his, you know, intelligence and memory and understanding of the things. So he has completed like 10th shloka. 10th shloka in the end of this paper. And now he cannot write on the back side of the paper. So he knew that what I will write on the back side of the paper, where I will finish, from there he will start on the third paper. This was a Jiva Goswami. And I have seen his writings. It looks that someone has printed them. I have seen his original writings in museum. In Vrindavan, we have Vrindavan Shodh Sansthan. I have seen there, and some of his writings are there in Calcutta also. And he wrote 400,000 shlokas in the glories of Krishna. Srila Vyasdev has wrote 400,000 shlokas, but in those shlokas he is glorifying Krishna, he is glorifying yoga, he is glorifying karma, he is glorifying jnana, he is talking about all the demigods, he is talking about tantras also, he is talking many things. But Srila Jiva Goswami has wrote 400,000 shlokas exclusively in the glorification of Krishna. And in those 400,000 shlokas, what the speciality is, when we write something, sometimes we, you know, repeat, or sometimes we cut it. We wrote, oh no, it should not be like this. When we used to write with a pencil, we used to, erase it with the eraser. Now we just put fluid on it, or we just cut it with the pen. Yes? Sometimes we have to write one or two papers, we commit mistake like that. And sometimes we have a book, we see from the book and write, just copy. Still we make the mistake. And Srila Jiva Goswami, without copying, just from his memory, he was creating shlokas in his mind and writing those shlokas down. But in those 400,000 shlokas, there is no cutting, no erasing, no fluid using. Powerful, very powerful. In history, there was no such, till now, no one is like Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami still, amongst the philosophers, is considered the biggest of the philosophers. And Srila Jiva Goswami, he was such a powerful scholar, erudite person, but down to earth, very humble. He was just serving the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami. And Srila Rupa Goswami was writing the books and he was acting as his editor. But what he used to do, he used to bring palm leaves for him. He used to edit his books, he used to bring water and other things, whatever was required for Rupa Goswami's service. So one day, Shripad Vallabhacharyaji came. You know Vallabhacharyaji? Shripad Vallabhacharyaji came. And when Vallabhacharyaji came, he was eldest, we'll say. He was a senior person, very senior. He was senior to Rupa Goswami also, but was not in our Sampradaya. He came. And Rupa Goswami was writing that time Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. That Srila Prabhupada has translated in English, Nectar of Devotion. So when he was writing that book, Vallabhacharyaji came. So Rupa Goswami paid the obeisances and Vallabhacharyaji said, what are you doing these days? He said, I'm writing this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu because Lord Chaitanya has instructed me. Vallabhacharya said, can I see this book? Rupa Goswami said, it will be my great pleasure that if you will look at my book and if you can do some sanshodhana, some editing, it will be great if you please correct if I'm wrong somewhere. So Rupa Goswami wrote one shloka, Bhukti Mukti Spriha Yavat Pishachi Hridi Vartate Tavat Bhakti Sukhat Yatra. I forget the shloka. So the first line was, Bhukti Mukti Spriha Yavat Pishachi Hirdi Vartate. Bhukti Mukti Spriha Yavat Pishachi. Pishachi means which? So if you are having a desire of Bhukti or Mukti, that is like Pishachi. Which? So Srila Vallabhacharyaji said, what I consider, you are, because your mood is right and we Vaishnava think like that, it's good. But you know, for many, many sadhus, or what do you call them?
Sages.
Hermits and sages, or athes, saints. It's their cherished desire. Is their cherished desire to have mukti, to get mukti. So how you can write that as Pishachi? So Rupa Goswami said, okay. He was also a humble devotee. He said, okay, you are a senior devotee, you are saying, I will change it. And then he wanted to take bath in Jamunaji. So Rupa Goswami asked Srila Jiva Goswami, go carry his clothes and serve him. Because a small junior devotee should serve the senior devotee. So he was carrying the gamcha and everything for Vallabhacharyaji and they were going to Jamunaji to take bath. On the way, they were discussing and he said, Shripad, I'm very glad that you are giving your association. But I just want to say one thing, if you don't mind. I apologize, I'm just a junior. I'm feeling that I should say, that is, I am just requesting, give me permission. If you will give me permission, I want to say something. Vallabhacharyaji said, please. And Jiva Goswami said, Shripad, as you were saying that my Guru Maharaj, Srila Rupa Goswami, he is calling Mukti as a Pishachi. But what I understand from that shloka, that he is saying, Bhukti Mukti Spriha. Spriha means desire. He is not saying that Mukti is Pishachi or the Bhukti is Pishachi. But I understand, he is saying that desire for Mukti and Bhukti is Pishachi. Is which? We should not have that desire. Vallabhachari said, wow, wonderful. And he said, okay. Then he went to see Rupa Goswami again and say, Rupa, I'm very sorry. You should not edit. Don't edit that book. It was right. He said, no, Shripada, you were saying that I will edit it. He said, no. Actually, I was not able to understand what you have wrote. Because just by seeing Mukti as Pishachi, I just forgot about the whole thing. You are writing Spriha. Your disciple, such a wonderful disciple you have. Immediately he caught up. Rupa Goswami said, who? He said, Jeev Goswami. He, this Jeeva. Oof. Rupa Goswami became furious. He just paid obeisances to Vallabhacharya ji. Then Rupa Goswami looked at Jeeva. Jeeva! You don't have right to stay in Vrindavan. Don't show your face to me. Your face is giving pain to me. Immediately leave the Vrindavan. You rascal! You don't know how to behave, how to deal with the senior devotees. Maryada vyatikraman, aparad kiya hai tumne. You have maryada vyatikraman. You have violated your protocol. You have violated your limits. You don't know how to deal with the senior devotees. Vallabhacharya is a contemporary of Lord Chaitanya and you are trying to correct him. He mercifully came to me. See the humility of Rupa Goswami. He mercifully came to me and he mercifully edited my book. I became glorious that Vallabhacharya did some sanshodhan in my book. You rascal. Immediately leave the Vrindavan. He left Vrindavan. And what he did, in those days, when he left the Vrindavan, he was staying in a cave. And eating, you know, sometimes someone giving him uncooked flour, wheat flour, corn flour. What he used to do, he used to take Jamuna waters, and used to mix that flour in it and to drink. And that was also not every day, sometime. And he became very sick. His body became very sick. His joints became weak. In that condition, he wrote a wonderful book, which that book became very famous among the community of Vaishnavas, known as Gopal Champu. And then one day Sanatana Goswami came there in the same village and he was like a beggar. Means Madhukari, they used to do Madhukari to benefit others. So in one house, in Vrindavan still this system is prevalent. I have tried. If you are like a sadhu, look like sadhu, I look like sadhu. So if you go to someone's house and just stand at their door and just say Radhe Shyam, and immediately sound will come from inside. Aati Baba nahi thaira rahi ho, Aati Baba wahi thaira rahi ho. Just be there Baba, I'm coming. I'll bring some chapati and something for you. Means they know that sadhu has came and he needs some prasadam, some madhukari. And similarly, Sanatana Goswami said, was standing at one house and mother said, Atiyu Baba. After some time, mother didn't come, and Sanatana Goswami again said, Radhe Shyam. That mother came out and she said, you know Baba, you're 2-3 times here saying Radhe Shyam. I was busy. But what about that sadhu? He does not even come from Madhukari. He is dying there. Then Srila Sanatana Goswami saw, he understood this is Jeev Goswami. He went there, he He brought Jeev Goswami back to Vrindavan and asked Srila Rupa Goswami, tell me the philosophy or the real basic siddhanta of our Vaishnava culture given by Lord Chaitanya. Rupa Goswami said, Name Rupi Jive Daya Vaishnava Sevan. Name Ruchi means attraction and taste for the holy name. Vaishnava Seva, serve the Vaishnavas, and Jiva, Jiva Daya, have compassion on the Jivas, on the living entities. Okay, Sanatana Goswami said, then what about your Jiva? Your Jiva means your Jiva Goswami. Then, Srila Jeev Goswami, he brought Jeev Goswami, and Sanatana Rupa Goswami said, that time I was angry, why you left? You know, I have not completed, till now my Bhakti Rasamrita is not completed. You are my books, you are my editor. And then Rupa Goswami personally took care of Jiva Goswami. And this day there are many, you know, instructive and you'll say instructive and blissful and attractive pastimes of Jiva Goswami are there. But I think we are getting late. How much time we are having? How long we can go or we should stop? What? We should go on or stop? For 15 minutes more?
Yeah.
Yes? And then Jeev Goswami started helping through. First, Rupa Goswami personally served Jeev Goswami, and then Jeev Goswami became cured, and again he started editing Rupa Goswami's books. There was another incident similar to this, where one very erudite person, like these days we have match, cricket match, football match. Those days, because the people were intellectual, there used to be debates on the Shastras. Yes, that kind of match used to be there. So one person, he was Narayan, no, Rupa Saraswati, he was kind of Digvijay. Digvijay means who was just conquering around the world. He was such a scholar. And he came to Vrindavan. In Vrindavan he thought, if I will win these two personalities, Rupa and Sanatan, if I will defeat these two personalities, all Vrindavan will become defeated automatically. So when he reached to Rupa Sanatan, they are very humble. They said, we cannot waste time in debating with him. We have to write so many books for the pleasure of Lord Chaitanya. He said, okay, we cannot debate, what you want? Now, if you cannot debate with me, write down a letter, accept your defeat, and sign it. So they wrote. They said, okay, we are being defeated by Rupa Narayan, Rupa Saraswati. We appreciate his scholarity. His scholarity. We appreciate his knowledge, and we appreciate the way of his presentation. Thank you very much. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, go. And now what he was doing, he started showing that letter to everyone in Vrindavan. And everyone was thinking, oh, Rupa Sanatana became defeated. No, 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 it's very difficult. And this talk came to Jeev Goswami. Jeev Goswami took him, come to me. I cannot accept that you have defeated Rupa Sanatana. I'm his Rupa's disciple. I'm their disciple. First you defeat me. If you will defeat me, I will accept you have defeated them. And for 7 consecutive days, debate took place. And he defeated him in such a way that his situation became pathetic. Rupa Narayan's. He was ashamed in the assembly of people. Defeated Rupa Goswami, Jeev Goswami. And then he said, now I want to take your shelter. Give me your shelter. Jeev said, no, don't take my shelter. Go to Rupa Goswami. And then he went to Rupa Goswami. And Rupa Goswami forgave him. And again Rupa Goswami chastised him. Jeev Goswami, why you were wasting your time there? But a disciple, Jeev Goswami was saying, a disciple, like we are the follower of Srila Prabhupada. It is our responsibility. If someone says something against our philosophy, against our movement, it is our responsibility to defend. like Jiva Goswami did it. And then, now we'll not discuss more pastimes, we'll just go a little bit in the philosophy, how he presented. He wrote all these books. Srila Prabhupada in many places says that a person who wants to understand the philosophical conclusions should read the short sandarbhas of Srila Jiva Goswami. Especially he mentions these things in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Once I was just with the... I was listening from Gopi Parandhan Prabhu. I was listening to him. Gopi Parandhan Prabhu is, authority of Bhagavatam in our ISKCON movement. Many Vaishnavas says Srila Radha Govinda Maharaj and Gopi Parandhan Prabhu. They are kind of authorities on Srimad Bhagavatam in our ISKCON movement. Because they always, they are always relishing Bhagavatam, they are always explaining Bhagavatam, writing Bhagavatam. Their life is Bhagavatam. So he translated Brihad Bhagavatamrita and commented on him. He translated and commented on the Tattva Sandarbha of Srila Jiva Goswami and one another Sandarbha he translated. So once he was saying that if someone reads and carefully the Bhakti Vedanta purports means all the books of Srila Prabhupada and short sandarbhas of Jiva Goswami, no one is there in the creation who can defeat him in philosophy. Srila Jiva Goswami's short sandarbhas and Srila Prabhupada's Tathagatam. So Jiva Goswami was very erudite, and what he was doing, we say sometimes when we glorify these Vaishnavas, we say Nana Shastra Vicharanaika Nipuna Sadharma Sansthapako. There are different literatures and then they established the real Dharma. So when they were reading and studying different literature, it means they were not only reading the bhakti literature, they were reading everything, even the mundane literature and the commentaries of Mayavadis, Karamimansikas, Nayikas, means logicians. They studied the commentaries and writings of all these people and took the essence from them. Connected them with bhakti, Srimad Bhagavatam, and presented to us. So we don't have to go and find the real thing everywhere, because they have done it already for us. So I have seen in Tattva Sandarbha and other places what Srila Jiva Goswami is doing. He is using the commentary of Karma Mimamsakas and Mayavadis, those who say that God does not exist, the form of God does not exist, he is formless, and he is using their commentary to prove that God's form exists. You are getting my point? He is using their commentary, the commentary which they are writing, to refute our proposition as the form of God. We say that Krishna has a form. God has a form. So Mayavadi refute it. And they prove that God does not have a form. God is formless. So he is taking that commentary to prove that God has form. See, such a brilliant personality. And one place he says, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, I was amazed, because in Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta, we talk about two kind of rasas. In Madhurya or Shingara Ras, there are two kind of rasas. One is called Parakya, one is called Swakya. Swakya Ras is between a married man and woman, married couple, one's husband and wife. Between husband and wife, relationship is called Swakya. And Parakya means paramour relationship. Relationship, extramarital affairs, we say. Relationship outside marriage. That is called Parakya Ras. And which is condemned, which is very abominable in material world. But because the material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world, whatever is the dirtiest or abominable last thing in the material world, because as perverted reflection, the thing which is on the top becomes the comes on the bottom. Yes? Becomes the lower. So similarly, the bottom thing, that most dirtiest thing or most abominable thing in this material world is a parakya ras, but when it goes to spiritual world, it comes on the top. So we say, parakya rasya jaha brajete prachar. In Braja, there is a parakya ras. That is beyond our understanding, but it is there. But Srila Jeev Goswami, Rupa Goswami mentioned this, our other acharyas mentioned this, but Jeev Goswami, he is writing many places, especially in Gopal Champu and other areas, is promoting Swakiya Ras. He is saying that Swakiya Ras is there. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, his heart was broken because he had full faith in Jeev Goswami, but he was thinking that how Jeev Goswami can overrule Rupa Goswami? Why he is not presenting the instructions of Rupa Goswami as it is? Why he is not doing like that? Why he is putting this Swakiya in a higher position than the Parikya? So he was saying that my heart was like broken, I was very disturbed, I was devastated. That how Jeev Goswami can do this? Until I came to one shloka of Jeev Goswami. And what the Jeev Goswami is saying there? He says, Swaichya likitam kinchit kinchit likitam parichaya. I'm writing many things according to my understanding and desire, but some places I'm writing according to other people's also. Because in those days, some other, our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya was not fully established. We have to establish. And there were some other Sampradaya, they were not able to accept the higher position of Parakya Ras because it is condemned in material world and they were equating it with the material rasas. So just to establish the Sampradaya's authenticity, and at the same time, he had some disciples who were influenced by some other Sampradaya, especially Nimbarka Sampradaya. That time Nimbarka was very prevalent. These days it is not that much. So they were influenced by some other Sampradayas, and Jeev Goswami was thinking that if I will not, I will not consider their opinion. Immediately I will oppose. It will be very difficult in future to establish Gaudiya Sampradaya as an authentic Sampradaya. At the same time, people will go away and they will not attain the higher purpose of their life, ultimate benefit of their life. So sometime a preacher, when he goes for preaching, sometime he does something up and down just to convince other for accepting Krishna consciousness. That's it. And in the future, but that does not mean that for eternity he will accept the same thing. Like when West it is there, kind of idiom is there. When a child asks mother, "Mother, from where I came?" And mother says, "A stag has brought you." Have you heard that phrase? So, but mother does not think that when he will be like 25 years old boy and someone will ask, "From where you came?" He will not say that I came from my mother and father, they gave me birth. He will say a stag had brought me. So when he will grow up, he will become mature in spiritual life, he will accept the reality. He will understand the reality. So similarly, when a preacher goes, sometime he plays little bit to convince a person to accept Krishna consciousness, so he will be benefiting. But later when he becomes mature, we start giving him the real thing. Already we are giving the real thing, but we give them the deeper things. So this is the way Srila Jiva Goswami was preaching Krishna consciousness. And there are many, many pastimes of Jiva Goswami in Vrindavan with Janma Mata, with Raghunath Das Goswami. He purchased the whole land of Sevakunj. Sevakunj. Now we have only one temple, Radha Damodar temple, and one little place named Sevakunj. That is on Jiva Goswami's name. But when Jiva Goswami purchased it, he purchased from Nidhivan to Keshi Ghat. Everything was in his name. So no one would disturb us that you are constructing temples or you are preaching here. It is in our name. And Maharaj Man Singh helped him. He got some help from Akbar also. And then Radhakund also. Radhakund land was purchased by Jiva Goswami in the order of Raghunath Das Goswami, because Raghunath Das Goswami wanted to construct a good pond there for Radhakund, good facilities for everyone. But at the same time, he was so much immersed in the chanting and dancing of the holy name and in explaining the glories of Lord Chaitanya. Every day he used to glorify Lord Chaitanya for 3 hours. So he was not able to manage all these things. So he asked Jiva Goswami, and Jiva Goswami took the whole thing. And that land is also in the name of Jiva Goswami. All those papers are still there. Jiva Goswami did a big thing. He was a big timer in our sampradaya. He was hero. He is hero till now. So we just pray at the lotus feet of Srila Jiva Goswami. Oh, Srila Jiva Goswami Pad, please bless us so we can serve Srila Prabhupada and our movement as you were serving Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. Bless us so we can understand this purpose of Srila Prabhupada and your books. So we can understand and act on that for the divine pleasure of Sri Krishna, Radharani, Krishna Balaram, Gaur Nitai. Srila Jiva Goswami ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Jagdish Pandit ki, Sri Krishna Kathamrit ki, Samast Bhakta Vrind ki. Thank you very much. You were tolerating me from last 2 hours. Thank you. Thank you.